I haven't had that talk with Bill yet about the sound person. Their main job when I preach, or actually when I have a microphone on, is to make sure that it's dead if there's singing going on. Because Lord knows, you do not want my microphone on if there is singing happening. And I should have got a lot of amens to that. And don't make me think I've gone back a few years to the church that never said amen. Rob asked me if I would preach on the topic of fasting, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I want to share a story with you. Many of you know the first part of the story. In that Thursday, Amy was at Community Heart and Vascular up on the campus of Community North and was going to have her pacemaker revised. Considered probably not a high-risk procedure. We were scheduled to be there at noon, and we were. The surgery was supposed to start at 2. The doctor came in, talked to her, got her to sign her life, got her to sign the paperwork that has to be signed, and then the waiting game started. And 2 o'clock came and passed, and 3 o'clock came and passed, and 4 o'clock got there, and about 4:30, the doctor came in, and something obviously had gone terribly wrong. He was white as a ghost. He was not in a good state mentally, and told us that something had gone horribly wrong in the procedure before Amy's. Now, we don't know this for sure, but deep down in our hearts, we know that with his demeanor, with the things that he said to us, he lost somebody in the procedure before Amy's. Now, I tell you all of that to tell you this. We're going to assume that that was not a high-risk procedure that took place before Amy's. We're going to assume that everybody involved thought that what most people would consider a relatively simple procedure went horribly bad. And while that person was ready to have the procedure, our question was, were they ready to meet Jesus? Because before they got out, they went to meet Jesus, is what we believe happened. Now, you've heard me tell a story about Jamie and how she was at a meeting one night, and the next morning she flipped her car, and Jamie went to be with Jesus at age 27. We're going to get to fasting and praying, but I want you to think right now, if something happened while we were in this service, would you go to be with Jesus? And if you cannot confidently say, I would go to be with Jesus, this altar is open. It's open right now. You know, we usually do altar calls at the end, but the person that was in that procedure didn't get to the end. They didn't get to the end of that procedure before they went to see Jesus. And this altar, no matter what part of the service we're in, whether I'm in the middle of talking about fasting and praying, or right now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'll stop everything. And we will pray with you, and we will help lead you to Jesus. We can't lead you to Jesus. That's up to you to ask Him into your heart. But we will help you. We will do our best to guide you. We don't want anyone to be in hell.
Right, come on.
And we pray after the fact, when nothing can change, that that person that was in that procedure knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that they're with Jesus today. But we don't know that. And it would be wrong of me to stand up here and give that family assurance, to give you assurance that that person went to heaven, because we don't know. We want you to be in heaven. And we're confident in our relationship with Jesus, and we want you to be confident too. 2019, it is upon us. This is the last time that we will meet together in 2018. I hope that's right. I mean, I don't think we've got anything scheduled between now and Tuesday. We make resolutions every year. Some people make them believing that they're going to follow through with that resolution. But, you know, most New Year's resolutions never come to pass. We're going to go on it. I've been going to lose weight every year for years and years and years. And somebody described me today as being short hair, a little on the heavy side. And that was pretty accurate. Unfortunately, they were telling the truth. But we do our New Year's resolutions. But the fasting that is going to take place starting next Sunday is better than a New Year's resolution. Now, when I preach on fasting, and I've never preached on the topic of fasting before, I've done a few one-day fasts, but I've never embarked on anything more than a one-day fast. It's my plan and my prayer. Actually, in my daily prayer list, it includes the word fasting. Because I know that God has been leading me in that direction. And I pray that that is something that I will get better at. So I'm preaching to myself, trust me, as much as I'm preaching with you guys today. Not to you guys, but with you guys. Because I should be sitting out there listening to what I've got to say today. Father, I just ask you to be with us just now as we talk about prayer and fasting. Two things that go together. And we just ask that you would help me to get out of the way, to use what you have provided, and to share the good news of Jesus, and to share what fasting can do in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Why fast is the name of the sermon today. And I was able to come up with I have some books online that I utilize, and in one, Understanding Theology, they had a whole chapter on prayer and fasting. Now, if you notice, I've said the word prayer and fasting because the two go together. You can pray without fasting, but you should not fast without praying because they go together. One of the things that is so important as we fast is that we lift problems. We lift our future up to Jesus in prayer. We looked at the subject of prayer many times, and we won't go into that too deep with that, but just know that they go together as we bring this message. Fasting is what? Doing without. Whether it be food, some people fast, leaving, maybe they're giving up meat, maybe they're giving up TV, but it's doing without. And in most cases, when you hear the word fast, it's doing without food. It can be going without sleep or giving up pleasures in life. But again, we're talking more about the food part. The New Testament, well, we look at the Old Testament, and there are definitely periods that fasting was called for. The New Testament is a little different. In the New Testament, it's more assumed that fasting was to take place. It wasn't necessarily commanded, but we look at the different stories in the New Testament that talk about fasting, and we kind of come to the assumption that that was just part of what they did.
Yeah, that's right.
That was part of what they did. And Matthew 6:16, and I hope you don't have to go to these because they're usually just one verse, but Jesus did not say, if we fast. He said, when we fast.
Right.
There's a big difference, right? The assumption is that fasting is part of what they're doing in the New Testament. Jesus predicted that his own followers would fast. Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast.
Yep, that's right.
Then they will fast. Why is it important to look at what fasting is? Well, it's a subject that many times is neglected, and I'm guilty of that in the past. You know, there are certain things that I feel underqualified to stand in the pulpit and to bring to you. I don't preach from the book of Revelation very often because I don't feel like I have the grasp of the book of Revelation like I need to. That doesn't mean that I think that people shouldn't preach from the book of Revelation. It means that's something that I need to work on. And fasting, it is the same thing for me. It's a neglected practice, but it provides a new dimension for many people with regard to a discipline that is needed from time to time. We need to fast. And Pastor Rob has stood up here and said, it's not for everybody. It's not, fasting is not a requirement in salvation. I want to be clear about that. Can you make it to heaven and never fast? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But it's one of those subjects where, think about being close to God in your daily walk. When you fast and you spend special time in prayer, normally when it's a case of fasting, it's you and God. And that's special. You and God is a special time. Fasting is something that we can do about things, perhaps a beginning to become more disciplined. It takes discipline to fast. I can tell you that it takes discipline to fast for one day.
Yeah.
I really have no clue what I'm getting into. 21 days? 21 days? Are you kidding me, Rob? We're going to fast for 21 days? Trust me, that's a God thing for me. I'm sure it's a God thing for you as well. What can fasting do? It can provide a spiritual breakthrough, not just for you, but our church. Think about this. It can provide a spiritual breakthrough for this congregation. And I know that Rob has told stories about things that have happened either during the time of fasting or immediately after or even down the road. A spiritual breakthrough because of fasting. It can be a spiritual breakthrough for you as a Christian. Because let's be real here for a second. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, fasting isn't going to do anything for you. It's just going to make you hungry.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? You have to know the Lord as your personal Savior for fasting to do any good. So, somewhat we're talking to the Christian brothers and sisters here. Not somehow, we are. And again, if you're not a Christian, this altar is open. We want you to be with Jesus through all eternity. For someone who is experiencing dullness in his or her Christian life, maybe fasting is what you need. Maybe you're stagnant. Maybe you don't feel like you have the relationship with Jesus that you once had. What about taking the time to fast? And ask Jesus, when you're fasting, to allow your relationship to become better. You know, Jesus is never going to say no to that. It's up to you. But Jesus and His Father want you to acknowledge that that's the case. You know, God knows everything. He knows that you need to fast. He knows your heart. But God wants to hear from you. Do you believe that? All the 8 billion or whatever there is on the planet today, and all that have ever lived before, and all that will live until Jesus comes back, God loves every single one of those people.
Yep, everyone.
He doesn't care what country you're from. He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care if you wear glasses or don't wear glasses. He doesn't care if you're a redhead, a blonde, a brunette. He doesn't care about any of that. He cares about what's right here. He cares about your heart and your soul. And He loves you. And you can't hear this example enough. He cares so much about you and knows so much about you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Doesn't that just boggle your mind?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
You know, as we get older, some of us, our hair recedes, or some of us back here, it goes away altogether. And it must get easier for God to count the hairs on your head when that happens. But that's how big our God is. And how much He loves you. And how much He wants you, whether you're having difficulty in life or whether things are riding high, He wants that personal relationship with you. 8 billion people. Who counted 8 billion people? 1, 2, 3. Oops. 1. 8 billion. And He loves every one of us. What we are going to talk about is not just about fasting, but all fasting has to be accompanied by prayer if something good is going to come of it. We can fast for our nation. We can fast for the believing community. We can fast for ourselves and our relationship, and we can continue on and on and on about different things we can fast. Rob last week says maybe you can take a subject each and every day, and maybe one day you pray and fast about your relationship, and one day you pray and fast about your relationship with your spouse, and the next day, and so on and so on. We can pray and we can fast about anything that we need to lift up to God. And what is the purpose of fasting? Why fast? We get God's attention. You realize that? Now, how do you take and you know, make it seem like it works when I just said God knows everything and God knows us so well that He counts the number of hair on our head? Why would we need to get God's attention? And it may seem strange, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "And no creature is hidden in the sight of Him, being God, but all things are naked and laid bare to the eyes of Him to whom we must give our account." He wants to hear from us. We have to give our account to Him. If you'll turn to, well, not turn, but read on the screen behind us, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 11, it says this, under the heading, True Fasts and Sabbaths. And let's wait till that pops up there so that you can follow along. I cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring... There you go. That's all right. She's just messing with me back there. She's thinking, I'll get him. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself and your own flesh. When your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. And may God grant his blessings upon the reading of the word.